The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Hi everyone, I hope you've all had a good Christmas break and New Year's break, and it's good to see you all here on the webinar again today. And I'm not going to say much, I'm just going to hand straight over to Kathy, who's going to give us a preview of their Bayou Creek Florida project. So Kathy, it's over to you.
Why, thank you. Hi everyone. I wanted to go over this when I was visiting you in Sydney last November, but we figured that it would be better to have the developer here to talk about it because he has much more intimate knowledge of the project. But I want to let you know that we're really excited to be presenting this to you tonight. It is the same project that you might have seen, last February or March, so almost a year ago, and it was called Cannon Ranch, the residential part of that. This is now Bayou Creek, and I'll tell you, this is a really exciting opportunity because this project was basically spoken for, and we had a couple of investors who committed who had to pull out. We've sort of been waiting for them, and the funds weren't necessary quite yet at the time, so we waited. But a couple of investors were waiting for some properties to sell and things to happen, and they couldn't make it happen. So we now have a couple of openings on this project, and what's exciting about it for anyone coming in now is that you still get to come in like everyone else did last year, but you get the same percentage of profit even though you'd be coming in a year late. So the returns for anyone who might participate in this project now are going to be substantially higher than what they already were, which was pretty darn good. So there's only 8 shares left in this. This is a syndication, and so they'll go pretty quickly, but we wanted, as usual, to present this to you first before we present it to the rest of our members. So you get to hear about it first. Woo! I don't know what that is, but that was noisy. All right, so let's go to the next slide, and that's a picture of the Bayou Creek right there. And this is probably not going to be the final name, but again, just to go over this quickly, for those of you new to our group investments, basically, you probably have heard that prices have gone up really extraordinarily in the U.S. this past year, 20 to 30% in some areas. So cash flow has really come down on single-family homes unless you go to a few specific kind of second-tier markets like Ohio and Pennsylvania, where that sort of bounce back hasn't happened yet. But in the meantime, there's still this incredible opportunity with projects that went into bankruptcy or went into foreclosure, and banks don't know what to do with them. Investors don't know what to do with them. Only very experienced developers would have any idea what to do with some of these projects that are just sitting, literally sitting in the commercial divisions of banks. And it all happened because of the, you know, Lehman Brothers collapsed in 2008, and developments that had credit lines all ready to go to finish certain commercial projects suddenly in one day did not have those credit lines. And these projects, you know, the developers hung on as long as they could, but many of them went back to the banks. Many of these developers went into, you know, bankruptcy. And it leaves an opportunity for us as investors to be able to partner with developers who could pick up these deals and finish them off as they were supposed to be or better. So, but the deal is that between this $1 million and $10 million range, it's kind of too small for, you know, Wall Street to get involved in, but too big for individuals. So it leaves a really great opportunity for us to come together. Let's say, again, in this situation, let's say 30 investors come together with $100,000 each. That's $3 million. We can pick up projects we couldn't do on our own, and many of them are as cheap as 10 cents on the dollar, which you're going to see is the case on this one. Let's go to the next slide. Yeah, and that's the other amazing thing about this project is this was tied up years ago before the market recovered, so you wouldn't be able to find this deal today for sure. Again, syndications are group investments, and in the U.S., any pooled investment falls under SEC Reg D regulations, and so that's basically the security laws in the U.S. A PPM is required, so we can send that to you if you're interested in what you hear today. And in the U.S., it's really strict. You have to be an accredited investor to participate, which means you have to have $1 million net worth or a $200,000 income as an individual or $300,000 as a couple. But for non-U.S., you do not have to follow those guidelines from the U.S. security laws. So you can be non-accredited, which means you need to be sophisticated enough to understand the project. And given that you are taking DIPNIS course and studying so much about real estate, you certainly would qualify as sophisticated. So you can qualify for this project. So let's go to the next slide. Here is a little bit about it. It was formerly known as Bella Verde, and then it was called Cannon Ranch with the new owners. The idea is it's a master plan community with the planning of 4,375 homes, 1,900 acres, and it's just right north of Tampa. And we'll see that on the map in just the next slide, I think. The next slide actually is, this is some information that was on Bloomberg News to tell you why we like Florida. Basically, John Burns Real Estate Consulting it's a resource that I've been going to for years. They are so accurate in their predictions and in their, they work with builders. And this is basically what they said, the Florida housing market is booming. Home buyer traffic and sales are climbing rapidly through the state, leading to increasing home and land prices. So land prices are rising quickly, home prices are rising quickly, and the active adult market is back. You can see that there. Let's go to the next slide. Foreign buyers, of course, are helping the market. Foreign buyers love Florida, and they are picking up what they can. Of course, Real Wealth Network loves Florida. We're buying properties there, too. We like that market for single family as well. Happy to give you a referral for that. But there is a demand for housing there, and we really like this idea of being on the front end of development in an area that is highly desired, where foreclosures are declining. It's not declining as quickly as other states because it's a judicial state, but it is certainly not the mess it was a few years ago. And there's still room to run up in prices because California prices, as you probably know, and Arizona, Nevada, they went up 20-30% this last year because we're a trust deed state. Florida is not. It's a judicial state. That means that you have to go through the court system to do a foreclosure. So the recovery's taken a little longer there. But we're going to see a bounce back in prices, which is why we really are now focused on this area. And in particular, for this project, it is just north of Tampa. You see that circle there, Central Florida. Now let's move to the next one. So this is an old slide from when the project was called Bella Verde, but you could see Tampa there to the south. And Tampa, of course, is a well-known area. It's actually where Larry's from, so he knows it very well. And just 30 miles north is that little red spot. That's the project in Hillsborough County. Hillsborough County was built up in the last cycle, and now this is where development is moving. So it's right there at 75 and 52. The state of Florida is widening that road there at 75, Highway 75. It was going to be the responsibility of this development, but the state is doing it. And then this project will be responsible for widening 52, but there's a lot of growth happening here, and I think this is a good time to bring our guest on today, who is the developer of this project, Tom Direct. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, Kathy. I appreciate the opportunity, and I've been listening into to some of your introduction. This might be a good time just to sort of overlay on a couple of those aspects you mentioned, really just what the activity's been since we closed on this property last April and where we stand today. And then I also happen to have some updated numbers from John Burns as the markets. So if you feel appropriate, I might cover those topics.
Well, let's go through this through these slides, and because those some of that information might be there, and then if it's not, then let's do that at the
Very
end.
good.
So we can just go over quickly about Pasco County. You know, it's again midpoint of Florida, going through rapid transition, 30 miles north of Tampa.
The key about this location is the location to Tampa, and obviously the job formation and employment growth right now in the Florida market. Really, Florida, California, and Texas are the three dominant markets driving this housing rebound nationally, and what's making those the preferred markets is the job creation. This property is strategically located just 30 miles north on I-75 from that Florida Pasco Job Center.
And
locally, Pasco County, Pasco's very heavily driven by tech, medical, finance, aviation. It's both a bedroom community for Tampa as well as its own, you know, very active economically trying to grow these industries. St. James just announced a big office financial services just south of us. This slide here, Kathy, the purple emphasizes, you'll notice 75 there, the Cannon Ranch / Belo Verde / Bayou Creek is immediately contiguous to this purple area, which is the future growth area for Pasco County. So the tan areas that you see highlighted are projects that are approved and going to be the next wave of development. Epperson Ranch and Cannon, Pasco Town Center, and the county's very supportive of these projects because ultimately, you know, 10 years from now, they hope to get to this large purple area, which is their next area slated for development. And they really need us to go first. We bring the services, the infrastructure to those communities.
Okay. And here are just some photos of what's there now. It's really beautiful landscaping for Florida that's usually very flat, but you'll see it's a little bit hilly, lots of beautiful trees, and the new plans are to really work with this, with what's already there, with the beauty that's already there, instead of making it into a golf course, which you'll see in the next slides. So here's what's exciting, and so again, Tom, you know, you go into this, but how you tied up the deal and kind of the history of it here.
Right. The key components is I've been working on this property since early 2010, prior to the market turning. Worked with the existing ownership group, which I had a relationship with, and was able to put the property under contract. Worked with the bankruptcy court for over 18 months to file a plan of reorganization that was approved finally in November of 2011. We then worked through all the details of that plan, and we closed on the property in April of 2013, April of last year. We purchased the property for just under $16 million. As you can see from this slide, it was at the last cycle at the peak, late 2006, it was in escrow for $160 million. The previous ownership group had invested over $84 million into the project at that time between land. Construction was actually started. There's infrastructure in the ground, water lines, there was $8.5 million of engineering monies. There were seed community development district bonds floated. So this property was, as said, at market price at the peak, we're buying it probably 10 cents on the dollar, and as a percentage of cost, you know, we're maybe 15 cents on the dollar. So we bought it right. We closed on it in April of last year. The capitalization, in addition to the just under $16 million of land price, we actually funded the partnership at just under $30 million of equity commitments. We have two large private equity investors who are partners with us. We committed to a 10% co-investment, and that was the purpose of this offering. We raised our 10% co-investment, which was a $3 million offering. And we have, literally just, the units that are left today were because some subscribers didn't step up. We have not funded all of our commitment into the partnership. It's not required, so we had the luxury of timing. We wanted the full commitment in the bank. This slide, back to sort of the area analysis, is emphasizing the employment immediately adjacent to our properties with the Pasco Town Center, which is approved for 1,700,000 square feet of office. There's tremendous industrial and job centers all around our property. So our property, although it was originally entitled for a golf course resort community, the new entitlement, which we're currently prosecuting, is really more of a traditional residential community to serve the job centers immediately contiguous to the property.
Okay. So you kind of already mentioned, that the old design was outdated. It was a golf course. There were some problems with it. No core community. Didn't use the natural beauty. Instead, you're going to tear all that down and put golf courses.
And when we closed, as I said, we closed on the property in April, and this draft, which as you can see was dated in August, was the basis of really what we were doing from close until August, September of last year, and is the basis of the plan, which we've been working with the county and will be submitting now. Our target is by the end of March, literally in the next 60 days, and we hired the top-notch design and engineering team. We reworked the entire land plan. This is the new plan. It focuses, rather than a golf course, resort, which is sort of the last cycle's amenity package. The amenity package we're trying to come forward with here, we are emphasizing the existing wetlands on the property, the existing water features, and expanding those. So we'll have a lake-oriented community, which is obviously very popular in Florida, but not only will we be enhancing the existing wetlands, adding the two major retention ponds. We'll also be making this tributary so you can actually, as a recreational amenity, it's going to be set up where there will be kayaking and active water usage within the community. In addition, we've expanded this amenity package to include what is really more of an urban town center as the rooftops. We get these 4,300 rooftops in place. We've expanded the plan to include more higher density commercial office space. We have expanded and spread the school sites. So we're very excited about this opportunity. We've reworked the backbone infrastructure. We've engaged the county and the community in this process over the last 6 months since we closed on the property, actually 9 months. And we had originally, Kathy, you may recall earlier, in 2013, we had talked about a few different ways we might push forward the re-entitlement, whether we were going to be amending some of the existing entitlements. We've now worked with our land use team and attorneys, and we've got the county on board, where we are actually filing three plan development applications and amending and ultimately eliminating the development of regional impact. This is going to help us with our infrastructure requirements and our fees. So we really feel that the planning and work we've done the last 9 months since closing, we've really created a lot of opportunity and value in the site. This slide that's currently up is an idea of that, an imagery of that higher density urban town center with the tributary and the, workable water feature. Really taking the level of the property up quite a bit. This was our main entry feature. As you know, when you go into these planned communities, you normally have a gatehouse or a community room facility. Our amenity packages are all going to be oriented around this water theme and with the bridges and so forth.
That's great. I'm sure we'll have a lot of people wondering how they can buy a unit.
No. Well, here again, these are some images. We've been working with the county on our application. The idea is that the neighborhoods will have, the islands, fish camp, hammock, highlands. You know, the idea that sub-neighborhoods within the overall planned community, but a very walkable, livable environment, interconnected trail system. You know, what's really we're not pushing forward as much today is a lot of these, you know, resort golf course communities that the really the cost of maintaining that infrastructure was a burden on the residential community.
So we,
shut
of course,
up because here's some of your attorney's comments.
Yeah, well, you know, we run everything, of course, through Tobin and Tobin, our attorney Steve Wilson in San Francisco, who's a syndication specialist, 33 years of working as a real estate attorney, and he really knows what to look for and be aware of. And here were his comments that were, you know, very encouraging. First and foremost, that very significant due diligence was done by the two large and highly experienced institutional partners in this project. So you've got a New York fund and a San Francisco fund who are basically our partners on this, and they did, as he said, far more investigation than the average was done, and that made him very happy. The business plan for the project was conceived in a way that he felt mitigated risk. The project currently proposed uses modest leverage against the already steeply discounted purchase price that you saw earlier. The product mix and project concept are right in the sweet spot of what buyers want, again with the village concept. And then the profit curve is intended to be recovered by selling groups of lots to home builders at the outset, so the cost basis of the project should be recovered pretty quickly. And in this case, because you're, you know, anyone who would invest now will be coming in a year later, it's going to be real quick. and yet you still get the same share of profit that the others had. So don't tell anyone. That's why we're bringing it to you first. All right. So here's, I think, what you were talking about, Tom, on some of, you know, kind of where some of the work that's been completed in the past 9 months that since we closed.
Right.
Over information for most people, but yeah, tell us what this means.
Well, the key dates here are the 3/31/14, line item 2, submitting the master plan development and the application to abandon the current DRI, development and regional impact. That's really where I go back next month, and it's an owners meeting. Both the funds will be represented. All the partners are gathering, and we're going to bless the final site plan and lotting plan and submit that application to abandon the existing entitlements and process the new entitlement. Now, we will not abandon any of the existing entitlements until the new entitlement is approved. It's a simultaneous action. So we're hoping by April, basically a year later, we'll have those approvals. By simultaneously processing those approvals, we'll be going forward with the detail infrastructure plan. The key components are utilities, roads, drainage, and floodplain. So those all we hope to have plans done by the end of the year. We'll go to design and permitting first quarter of next year, so that we hope to have a shovel in the ground May of next year and be working first quarter, second quarter on pre-sales of blocks, and we hope to do our first lot sales and, more importantly, revenue generation second half of 15, mid to late 15, and that will be the first capital event which starts returning investor dollars.
The business plan is not for us to build these homes. It's to get the infrastructure in a place that will bring the highest dollar for builders who want to buy those lots, right?
This investment plan was to acquire the property out of bankruptcy, re-entitle it, redo the entitlements to the current market, put in the backbone infrastructure, create the value, create the vision, most likely sell off the first 1,500 lots, and then at that point in time, you'll see us try to maximize profit and return capital as quickly as possible. We'll probably sell off some pieces in bulk. We will sell off small neighborhoods to public builders, and we'll do a combination of, because once we get going, we want to move through the business plan. The cash flow that is in the offering shows most capital will be returning year 3 through 5, profits year 5 through 7, And as I stated last year, Kathy, our goal is to get that moved up so that really most of the activity is in year 3 to 5. Now, year 3 is actually year 2. It's late 2015 because we've been at this a year.
Right, exactly. Okay, here's a little bit about Tom, which I'm sure you've had the chance to just look over a bit. He's got 23 years experience doing this, land entitlement, land development, home building in California, Nevada, Colorado, and Florida. And as you probably know, Fred Bates, who's done some of our other projects, Portland, which went very successfully, and Fred is actually involved in this project, but on the commercial side of it. It's a commercial piece of property next to this. And he, you know, the Tahoe deal and everything. Tom has been done many projects with Fred. In fact, it's that's why you knew about this project, because of your relationship with Fred and some other developers, and y'all kind of a tight-knit community. So lots of experience there. Let's go to the next slide. Here's just some examples of the projects you've done. Again, if you care to say anything about these, but Pleasanton is just down the road from our office in Walnut Creek.
These are projects that Fred and I developed with our partnership with New Cities Development Group. We focused on mostly land entitlement and actually took quite a few projects through the home building, actually built the homes. We were the master developer of a Nicholas course in Monterey, and we've been at this together and in separate partnerships for, you know, the last 25 years, and it's nice that we're coming back out 2014. I started to say, Kathy, the Burns numbers that have come out this first quarter, a lot of what we were looking at in 2013 and the trend lines are continuing to look very strong as far as new home construction being increased. And you know, that's where the supply of housing will go down, and then builders will be frothing for lots, is our hope.
Absolutely. Okay, and there's the eligibility requirements. Like I said, for non-U.S. investors, it's a lot easier for you. You don't have to meet these standards. You just have to prove that you understand the investment and are sophisticated, which I think will not be a problem. So you would just contact us if you want more information, if you want the operating agreement or anything. It'd be to Kathy at realwealthnetwork.com. On this particular project, I believe it was 15% preferred return, correct, with 12.5% of the profit at the end.
That's correct.
Yep, all those details will be in the PPM. So in the interim, while the money's, you know, with the current business plan, your funds would be tied up for approximately 2 years, and during that time you would be earning the 15% preferred return, and then as the profit sharing begins, again it's 12.5% of our share of the project, of our share, which is 10%. So we own 10% of that whole development, and the investors will get 12.5% of those profits. So all those details are in the PPM. It's going to be a really nice return for anyone who comes in at this late stage in the game. It's very exciting, and it's really nice for a lot of our international investors because it's so passive. You know, you're not having to manage property managers or come to the U.S. You don't even have to come to the U.S. to open bank accounts. It's a nice place to park your money and watch it grow without having to jump through a lot of the hoops that you have to do to buy property outright. Both good deals. But the returns on this are actually higher, which makes it nice too. So let's see if we've got any questions here. I don't know if I'm able to get in there and see, but let me try.
There are no questions as far as I can tell at the moment, Kathy.
Okay.
But I think you basically said it all. If anybody wants any details, they should just shoot an email off to Kathy, and it should all be answered for them.
Absolutely. You got it. All right.
Oh, here we go. Malcolm Gibson, time frame for interest and commitments, he's asking. I think you mentioned that, did you? 2 years?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
The time frame, well, they're looking, yeah, the time, you're expecting to start getting your capital back 2 years from now.
Yep. And as far as the investment is concerned, do any Australian investors need to form LLCs in America or in Florida? You're just buying a share, essentially, aren't you?
Yeah, it's already in an LLC, so it's already protected that way. And so we're seeing a lot of the Australians just coming in and not having to form those.
So they could do them, they could buy the units in their, not that we would recommend buying them in their own name, but they could, but preferably in an Australian trust with the LLC that you've got, that provides sufficient protection.
That's right.
And you mentioned how long before the first cash flow would start coming through?
Yeah.
Projecting to start selling lots the end of 2015.
Okay. So they'd start to receive some return of capital.
15, or the original cash flow that's model, which is part of the offering, shows most of the original investment coming back 15, 16, and starting profits after that.
Yep. And assuming they sign up now. Go on.
There's a detailed cash flow and business model timeline included in the offering memorandum.
Assuming people wanted to go ahead with this, how long before they need to transfer money to you?
Well, there are only a few units left, so the way it works on most of our projects is that you would turn in your subscription agreement. Obviously, you would get the offering documents, read through them, then you would turn in your subscription agreement, which saves your space. And then, you're really considered in once your funds come in. So the sooner the better. But if we know that there's a reason that maybe it's going to take a week longer or 2 weeks longer because you've got to transfer this or sell that, then we can certainly talk to you about that.
Yep. Well, that's all the questions that we've got so far. So thanks very much, Tom. Do we want to just move on to Larry? I'm not sure if Larry is with us. Are you there, Larry?
I don't think we can hear him. I might be able to go through some of his slides.
No,
we can hear. Kathy, I thank you very much. I'm going to drop off then, and I am available if there's any follow-up questions. And thank you again for all your hard work.
Great. Thanks, Tom. I've got Larry's slides here. And I've had a quick look through them, Kathy, but, and I think most of the slides speak for themselves. They're certainly showing the trends that we want to see anyway.
Right. And, it's pretty exciting when you look at this and say, you guys contacted us, I think, in the end of 2009.
That's right.
And you can see that Dipness timing was pretty darn good there.
Absolutely. Not only from a property price perspective, but also from an exchange rate perspective.
Absolutely.
Because at the time we bought our first property, we were certainly in, when the exchange rate was at 103 and anything up to 110. So, we hit the cycle at the right time with the properties at the lowest point, and now we're starting to see the benefit of those property prices rise. Which is always good.
Yeah, we are just right at the beginning of that, what looks to be a few years of rising prices. And again, for the purposes of this project, you can see that if homes are going to be built in 2016.
Yeah, at exactly the right point in the cycle.
Right, exactly the right time. So, good news.
This is a prediction from Zillow. Zillow is just a site that produces prices for properties, as far as I'm aware. You may be able to tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, sure. Zillow they listened to a lot of the criticism, which was that their numbers weren't accurate and so forth. So they've really spent a lot of time and money hiring economists and numbers people and experts, and this is some of their predictions, and so that is that home values will increase by 3%. I'm going to have to say I think it's going to be higher than that, but this is their prediction. Mortgage rates will reach 5% by the end of the year. That's possible. It will be easier for borrowers to get a mortgage in 2014, and this is kind of something that a lot of people were surprised by, because we actually just in January, the new mortgage regulations are in effect, called the Qualified Mortgage and Ability to Repay Law. And these are new laws that the banks who want to have government backing with Fannie and Freddie need to follow. So there's been a lot of concern that, wow, this 1,400 pages of new law or new rules is going to make it more difficult to borrow. But in reality, the banks have already been following what is basically a qualified mortgage. So they've already been doing this. About 90% of the loans that have been done would have fit these new regulations. So the difference is that now the banks, if they follow the rules, which again just came out and are just being enforced starting this month, if they create and lend on a qualified mortgage, they will not be held liable if that mortgage goes bad. And banks have been suffering with lots and lots of lawsuits, and they've been very reluctant to want to lend because they don't want to get sued. And now the new rules say, hey, you follow these guidelines and you only take qualified mortgages, we're not going to sue you if those loans go bad. So that's why Zillow is predicting that it's actually going to become easier to get a mortgage, because banks aren't so nervous about it anymore.
It's the last item, item four, that interests me. Home ownership rates will fall to their lowest point. Does this mean that more people are going to be renting?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see this. But yeah, that is good for landlords.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very good. And then single family housing starts. This is something, of course, we pay a lot of attention to. How many new homes, new apartments or single family homes have been started? The process of building has been started. And you'll see that during the recession, those numbers were so low, and then started to rise in 2013. And what we're being told is that we need 1.5 million new homes every year to keep up with demand, to keep up with the growing population of 4.5 million people to the U.S. every year. So we're still not close to building the number of homes that we need. So that means that inventory levels are going to continue to be low, and demand is high. So we do believe prices will continue to rise, and that's why I think it's going to be higher than that 3% that Zillow predicted. But it's also why we're so excited about partnering with builders like Tom, because it's an opportunity that we've never had. The average investor has not been able to partner with someone like Tom, who's no longer on this call so I can talk about him. But he would have no reason to come to us, because he could have walked into a bank and got the money. But now, in order to finish these projects that are such phenomenal, you know, just phenomenal returns on these, he's coming to us for capital, and that's exciting. And this chart just shows you that we're not close to where we need to be in terms of building new homes in the U.S. So it's a really great opportunity. Sales were up 6% this year over last, and prices up almost 13% nationwide. But keep in mind that in California it was closer to 30%, and in some areas, you know, so 12.8% is an average. So on average, 14,000 homes sell every day, and people aren't talking about it that way, but that's pretty impressive. Inventory levels are up just 0.9% over last year, so still so much demand. The U.S. and international investors are seeing all this good news, and they're jumping in, and yet the inventory levels aren't, you know, they're just not up. So lots of demand. Low supply means prices are going to continue to rise.
That's all of Larry's four slides. We don't have any more questions, so we're going to have a fairly quick session today by the look of it.
Okay.
Nothing else you want to add at this point?
Nope. Larry just sort of made a few notes, and Larry, thanks for providing these. We wish we could hear you, but. These are great slides, and I think really give people a good picture of what's happening here in the U.S., that it's still such a good time to buy. Prices are going up. You don't want to wait too long if you're looking to buy rental property, because cash flows will decrease as prices go up. But You know, again, we're seeing rents go up because of all that demand. So even with prices going up, with rents going up, the cash flows are still really good.
And the exchange rate still has a way to go. It's still, although it's below 88 cents at the moment here, it's there's still plenty of room for it to move down, and I would expect it to do that. I've just had one question. Can we get contracts again? Can we get the contacts again to get the product to get the information that we had before? Yep. I'll just get that up on the screen. Some contact details. I think that's it there.
Yep, Kathy at RealWealth.com. Yeah, she has taken over for Jessica, who took a job at Citibank, but Kathy can help you. She's been with our company for over 6 years and to answer any of your questions, and she could certainly get these documents to you. They're a $50,000 minimum investment, but we have we'd be willing to do a half of a unit, a $25,000 one for someone who's new and wants to just to get to know us better. But given the fact that we got this property and tied it up at 10 cents on the dollar of what it was in contract for just a few years ago, I mean, it's a home run, and then coming in a year later and you still get the same profit share as everybody else, it's a pretty sweet deal. So let us know if you have any questions.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Kathy, and thanks for everybody for tuning in and giving up your time to listen, and I certainly hope it's been of benefit to everybody. Okay, I'll close off the session now, and thanks, and stay warm over there. We'll try and stay cool.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll talk to you again.
It's been freezing. All right. Take care, everyone.
Thanks,
and
Kathy.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.